provinces and then allow Treasury to take us through immediately. Here comes our friend. Good morning, madam. Welcome here.
I think I'll start off just by looking at the presentation, looking at the aggregated provincial expenditure at the end of December. And also maybe just considering that element that deals with the projections for the remaining 3 months of the 2006-07 financial year. Looking at this particular picture, it shows that in aggregate provincial adjusted budgets of 188 billion. And projected outcome of 189 billion. So that means basically that we are projecting to overspend the budget of provinces by 1.034 billion. Okay? And looking just at the potential overspending, or at least projected overspending basically the provinces, in this case it will be Free State by 311 million, Gauteng by 748, KwaZulu by 160, and Limpopo by 193, Northern Cape by 50 million. Potential overspending, or at least projected overspending at that stage. Projected under expenditure in the Eastern Cape of 303 million, Mpumalanga 68, Northwest 11, and the Western Cape by 45 million. So if one just maybe just draw the comparison between the projected over and under expenditure for the provinces as a whole, the projected would be 1.034. Okay. Then what this slide shows basically just comparing actual expenditure as at the end of December over a 3 year period and looking at just the projections for that. So if I look at 2004 and 5 and just show that in 2004 and 5, provinces in aggregate have spent at that stage 70.6% of their budget and show that they were going to overspend their budget by 190 million. Within the same period, the year thereafter, they spent 70.7 and project to underspend their budget by 464. If one look at this year, one sees actually that provinces at this stage have spent 69.9% of their budget, however, showing that they will overspend their budget by 1.034 billion. So just to give you that sense of that. Now, we believe that picture is taken up in this slide, that when we look at the actual expenditure, which is the blue line up to the end of December, and one compares it basically to the projection for the remaining 3 months of the year, you'll find actually that our March spike has come a little bit earlier, right? And we find actually that in this case, we see that the projections actually seem to climb in January and February, and then plateaus in March. So that is maybe something that we need to pick up with our regard to our projections looking and this. In terms of housing, just looking at just the housing expenditure as a department and one can now just look in terms of what the housing grant of this allocation would be. One finds that in aggregate, the housing budget for the adjusted budget was 10.424 billion. As at the end of December, provinces have spent 66.2 billion. Okay? Which is at this stage they spend 59.5% of their budget as housing. And looking at that, actually it ranges from 49% in the Free State, 49 in the Eastern Cape, 52 in Free State, 64 in KwaZulu-Natal, North, 58 in Gauteng, Limpopo 53, and on average basically it's working to 59.5% of the budget that's spent. So just coming, looking at just the economic classification of that expenditure, because obviously looking at the grant will form part of the transfer payment in this case. Okay. Let me apologize for that. And maybe just to focus on the last two columns of this particular slide, it shows actually that provinces are projecting to underspend in the region of 280 million. Underspending of 251 million in the Eastern Cape, 7.6 in the Free State, 19.6 in Limpopo, 1.592 in the Western Cape. The point I want to pick up on this one was actually that if you look at that situation, and just looking at the economic classifications, one finds actually that on average, about 74.5% of a Department of Housing budget is transfer payments. Okay, and say maybe just that's to flag on that issue. Looking at the conditional grant, and the integrated housing and human settlement development grant, one sees actually that provinces at this stage are showing in aggregate that they have spent about 60.8% of the grant. This is the top one on top there. So the total available was 6.866 billion. National transfer 5.2 billion. And at the end of December, provinces have spent 4.171 billion of that fund. When we look at basically just if you look at just the categories or at least your ranges of spending, one sees actually that the number of provinces have spent less than 60%. In this case, five provinces have spent less than 60%, which is the Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. One province has spent between 60 and 70%, that's the Western Cape, and three more have spent more than 70% in this case, which is KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, and Northwest. Okay. Maybe I can just stop there, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Phillips. Then let's see where we start. Where do we start? You know, my boss next to me tells me we must start with Alright, we start then with the Western Cape.
Yeah. So which one is yours? Which you?
They have an urgent meeting that they want to attend. I know because the MEC is also addressing some mayor today somewhere. And so they've got to have it. They have to go to that urgent meeting. You know, the Western Cape are forever talking to me. Day in and day out. And so I know what is going on in the Western Cape. So see, there is a
good morning, Chairperson, the House and colleagues. Apologies from our MEC, Bianchi. He's, as Chairperson said, hosting an intergovernmental relations engagement with all the mayors and municipal managers in the province this morning. And thank you very much for accommodating us. Our presentation will focus on just recapping on the background. We've got funding allocation for this year when we started this financial year of 598 million. We've done renewed research within the province, and our current housing demand backlog stands at in the region of 400,000. The present funding delivers less than 15,000 houses per annum. And if we are to gear up and achieve the Millennium Development Goals as part of our national program of action to eradicate informal settlements by 2014, this province would need to deliver 50,000 housing units per year. We're moving on. The provincial action that we have taken is we have geared ourselves over the past 2 years in a very targeted way to accelerate housing delivery, and we have, you know, started to demonstrate both increased capacity in partnership with our municipalities for this accelerated delivery and to attract and spend additional funding efficiently and in an impactful way. We also embarked on a program, a very aggressive program in partnership with all provincial line departments or relevant line departments to target all state land in the province for a range of different housing interventions, to look at vacant school sites, you know, vacant buildings that no longer in use by various departments, and to transform that into either social housing in the inner core and different strategic sites that in the control of the province or national government that we would be doing some specific interventions for different housing types with. We're looking at our projected expenditure. I must apologize, Chairperson, that it should be 0607 at the bottom of that graph. So please forgive us for that. And that has been our projected expenditure that we've had, looking at just the previous financial year as well. If we just look at that in terms of a breakdown, looking at our metro, where the largest portion of our housing conditional grant go to, for the year 2005 and 2006, we will see that the city had a performance of 96% expenditure against the amount allocated to them. For the current year, they have had an allocation of 335 million, of which to date they've spent 84% of that between April to December 2006. We just look at the district performance. We're looking at the Cape Winelands district. There we see that Witzenberg, Stellenbosch, and Drakensberg in the previous financial year had strong performance, and Drakensberg maintaining its good performance. The areas of intervention that we have in this district, this is where some of our bigger municipalities are located within our broader region. Although Stellenbosch reflects a very low percentage rate of amounts claimed against the grant allocated to them, we are confident that there's a number of claims outstanding for work already done and that's standing on the ground that municipality have had serious administrative delays and a level of disorganization within their housing delivery units within the municipality. So just this very morning, our MEC will be putting further pressure and urge that municipal mayor and municipal managers to ensure that their administrative systems comply and get the necessary project support documentation out so that payments can be made. We have looked on the ground and we can see that there's work done, but a level of poor discipline in the municipality to process the necessary paperwork. Similarly, we're looking at other municipalities where we've got a similar scenario. We find that that's a particular tendency with bigger municipalities that have the resources that can almost finance their own, you know, delivery and then find themselves at a later stage to only wanting to claim. But that reflects a serious administrative problem that we would want to find in the last quarter. There's an increase in submission of claims and stuff that reflects a very uneven performance for that municipality and puts stress on the administration within the department. We're looking at the Overberg again. The Overberg, also we're looking at doing fairly well with an area of intervention. Overstrand is the same situation as Stellenbosch that we are confident will be resolved shortly. Central Karoo, our most rural district, there we also have had, you know, a much better performance. With Prince Albert is our most, is our smallest municipality, and that's the lack of capacity that exists in that municipality, and given the poor performance rate today. Eden District is our greatest growth center, where the highest mobility patterns are witnessed, and people moving into that district from different centers. And we are looking there at the performance of that particular district. We will see that it shows quite strong performance, and we are satisfied that the necessary capacity exists in that district. West Coast then, again, showing relatively strong performance across the district with particular areas of intervention. Chairperson, it would be worthwhile to note that what we are finding, given the high level of political changes within our municipalities within the province, at every given week you cannot be certain who is the mayor, and you're seeing just such a range of flux. And Bergrever, who has been traditionally a very stable municipality, there's been a range of, you know, intensive political changes right now, and we're seeing the impact that it has on service delivery very directly. So that 11% is areas of concern that we are having some special governance interventions in different municipalities to ensure administrative stability while the political changes is not in the control of the department. I am but only an official chairperson. The overall performance that we have seen for our province, we have, as of between April and September 2006, we have spent in excess of our entire conditional grant. We've had a late pleasant surprise in late November. We received additional funding earmarked and dedicated for the N2. So if one of the slides from National Treasury, we'd have been off the charts of having spent our entire conditional grant. But we have had that extra injection that we are investing and redirecting to where it's required. So as of September, we have spent in excess of our conditional grant, and we are looking, our target for this year was to deliver 16,000 housing units and service 18,000 sites by March of this year, with an additional funding of 150 million. The actual delivery as at December last year has been 75% of that target met, of the 12,060 houses built, and 85% of the 18,000 sites achieved. So we're well on track, Chairperson, to exceed our targets to a degree. Again, looking at this last quarter spending, we're on track as it is aligned to our projections. Chairperson, that's the end of our presentation, and just apologies again, it should be 0607 at the bottom of that graph. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, HOD. The only thing that you would have to give me now, you remember we had a discussion about 2-3 weeks ago, the list of all these projects now, where they are, because one of the things you would want to do, especially because we are right here in the Western Cape as a committee, we would want to go and see them now. And I'm sure Sokone agrees with me. We've got to work out just a one day shuttle around, just go and see some of the houses, the 12,000, excuse me, that you talk about. Just have a look at how they are, etc., etc. This very current financial year. That I think would be very useful. Thanks for the input. There's a filling staff from the Northern Cape.
Chairperson, Thank you, Chair. May we please be excused, and we will provide that list to the committee.
No, you can't excuse before questions. All right, let's engage with your questions very fast while the SMKB is doing that. Mr. Boda?
Thank you very much. In regarding of certain districts, and I hear what Rachel is saying, that like Cape Winelands and the certain municipalities in certain districts who are actually shocking low. And I hear, understand that there's certain claims outstanding and what the case may be. Chair, if claims are outstanding, how does it affect the contractors in regarding to survive? Because, I mean, Chair, if a contractor doesn't get his money, he can't survive on the moment. If he's not paying monthly, he can just pack up and go. And that's why I'm asking, is this project already busy, or haven't they start, or what is the situation in regarding of that very, very low, and one of the projects is a zero. Then another question, Chair, in regarding of that, the district councils, what is they doing to assist that low spending municipalities? Because I think they also is a part, local government and the housing and the district council. What is their role to play to assist that municipality in regarding of that low spending, or how do they assist them to pay their accounts, or what is the district council then doing if they not assist that low performance municipality? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, and also appreciate the presentation from the Western Cape. But I think that we do need a bit of a post-therapy with Western Cape. I don't want to go beyond that, but I think that we do. But I'm not sure, Chair, HOD says they are at now 84%. And the press release of National Treasury, I guess that I missed Mr. Philippon for the presentation, but shows that the adjusted budget for Western Cape was 987. If that is correct, and they have spent 614, which is confirmed here, and that makes 62% expenditure by end of December. What are we projecting? Are we projecting an under expenditure? That is one. Two, I just feel like divulging upfront what I would really want us to discuss with them, Cape. I'm a bit worried. Comrade, what you call Porter, yeah, I agree with him. Your Stellenbosch and them, well, we hear that in the previous year they had well spent, but if they are at 2% at end of December, I'm sure HOD will agree with that. It's not going to be possible for them to have any, to do much with your claims outstanding and everything. It's difficult. But the last chapter is around the issue of the capacity of a municipality to spend. Now, we need an urgent meeting with the Western Cape. But is each offense here in France to a capacity? We do not have capacity to how do we do that? Your Prince Albert, for instance, your Back River last year, 2005-2006, it looks like the expenditure was bad, your figure bad, but we continue to, what you call it, with transfer fund. Now, that's all, Mr. President.
Madam Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm very happy to see that there is some very good spending. Obviously, the administration needs to be picked up if, where necessary, you know, but if the houses are being delivered, that's really very good news. But I just wanted to check, you know, on the front page, your background, you say Christian funding delivers less than 15,000 houses per annum, and then we have got this enormous delivery rate of what is really needed. You also mentioned the need for land, and I just want to ask, to what extent is the gap between what you really want to spend or build and what you have got on the ground or able to build, is that a matter of availability of land, or is it actually the contractors who are not able to deliver? Have we got the best quality contractors who are able to build well and efficiently? And I'd just like to know about the quality of the building. I visited some houses over the weekend, and in that particular area, there were no foundations whatsoever. There was just a concrete slab, and then the house built on top of that. And the sand was just being blown away from underneath the slab, and tremendous cracking was occurring. So I'd just like some reassurance about the quality and the sort of project management. Are we really looking to see what is being built, and have we got good quality contractors who can perhaps build more quickly and more efficiently to catch up with this backlog? Thank you.
Yes. I see this money to the municipalities, is it already transferred to them? And is the local government of housing responsible for building the houses, or is it the municipalities who are building the houses? I just want to clarify that.
One for me, HOD is the... I've got some reliable sources as a young man here. Now, part of what is coming out is the... that some of you, in fact, this one is really not relevant for you. I must not even raise it. And therefore, then you'll not reserve it, because at least you did the right thing by seeking permission from National Treasury. But apparently there is this thing called Tubelisha. You may confirm that. An agency called Tumelisha, whether you're using this agency, etc., in terms of housing delivery. Now, you all on your own then, Nadia. Of course. Last one.
The last one. It's a minor one. Some municipalities say, some municipalities are underspent. Others, they have overspent. Where did the resources come from for those municipalities that have overspent, others up to 321%? Thank you. You're most helpful.
Now, let me just read the biggest Bible of all Bibles, the Constitution of the country. Under this section 214, there are issues that the FFC take into account when they recommend allocations. And so part of the issues here is that under the A to J, there's E that says you must take into account the fiscal capacity and efficiency of provinces and municipalities. In other words, you must then be able to take the fiscal capacity and efficiency of municipalities as a province. I'm raising this precisely because it is bordering on a constitutional matter. In other words, allocating to
municipality whose capacity is low, efficiency is not there. Proceed, Chairman.
Chairperson, thank you for the questions. I'll go through it in the order that it was asked. The first question about how the outstanding claims affect contractors, I'd like to link that with the other question that the Honourable Member asked as well. Municipalities are responsible for contracting with the developers themselves. The Department of Local Government and Housing does not contract directly with any contractor. It's the municipality who does that. In terms of then the claims outstanding to contractors, I just want to re-emphasize what I mentioned in the presentation. We see a trend with bigger municipalities who have strong budgets that can engage with a contractor, have the contract signed with the contractor goes ahead, builds the product, the municipality pays that contractor out of its own fiscus. Then at a later stage, claims through the necessary paperwork from the Department of Local Government and Housing. We do not at any stage transfer the conditional grant amount to the municipalities. We disburse that amount on completed projects with proper evidence and paperwork paid. Before we pay, our inspectors go out on the ground and need to go and verify that these products have actually been delivered. So we do not just give a lump sum of transfer of the conditional grants to any municipality. So that's how we manage the payment. So in terms of should there be any municipality that does not pay a contractor or delay in paying a contractor and thereby causing hardship, that is a relationship that's managed between the municipality and the contractor directly. If there's any complaints that we receive from any contractor that their relationship with the municipality has broken down and the municipality refused to pay them and stuff, we facilitate, we intervene to try and get that matter resolved, but it's essentially understanding that who the authority is in terms of the contractual obligation. In terms of the district councils, what's their role in assisting low-spending municipalities? We have, through the intergovernmental relations engagements that have, you know, been quite advanced in our province, we have put a renewed effort in engaging both at the Premier's Coordinating Forum and at the other IDR structures at the District Coordinating Forum in having a reviewed look at the role of district councils, both in terms of facilitating, capacity building, coordinating, in supporting municipalities. That has been traditionally a role that district councils have been very reluctant to play, or we've played it into varying degrees. Out of our 5 districts that we have in the province, we have 2 very strong districts, Eden and Cape Winelands, who plays that role very increasingly better compared to what has been done historically. The other 3 districts need a lot of growth in getting up to that level of playing that coordinating, supporting role. We have seen in the district where we've got project consolidate municipalities, for example, in Eden, have played a very strong supportive role in helping to support and capacitating the project consolidate municipalities and have helped with the effective turnaround of some of those project consolidate municipalities to get them up out of the danger zone. But that is an area of work in progress, Honourable Member, that we are putting increasing effort on so that the capacity, that the minimum capacity that needs to exist at a district council and district municipal level in order to play that role. We also are negotiating and facilitating and neutralizing some of the unhealthy tensions that exist between a strong B municipality and a district municipality. And it's almost at the point where district municipalities need to earn the renewed respect from B municipalities so that they indeed add value and not just play the big brother or the big sister type of role that they've done historically. In terms of we've started a new debate and discussion document on articulating exactly the developmental role of districts to help guide districts in understanding and stepping up to the plate to fulfill this role more credibly. In terms of, we would welcome a focused engagement with the committee around that as soon as possible. In terms of the National Treasury figures, our conditional grant was 598 million for this financial year. In November, we received an additional 372 million from National Treasury, earmarked and dedicated for the N2 Gateway project. Out of that 372, the amount that currently and that will be spent by the end of the financial year, I just want to bring the committee's attention to an important factor. National Housing engaged with National Treasury to make a request in partnership with Tbilisi for more funds for the N2 Gateway project. That engagement happened with National Treasury in about June of last year, the conversation started. And figures were put on the table by Tbilisi Homes and National Housing for the amount of money required for the N2 Gateway project. So the 372 million awarded was asked for within the context of a bigger amount in June. That money only got through the adjustments budget to us in November. So part of the 372 was intended for having needed to have been spent from June onwards. So there's a bit of a calculation gap where we say now having received that amount of money in November, and for us to be able to invest that money in the N2 by the end of March, it's putting us now in a bit of a crunch, right, where we don't have the latitude of now two quarters or three quarters to spend it over. It's now one quarter effectively to spend that over. The amount of units that we will be able to invest for that amount of money is there's actively work happening on the N2 project in this regard, but we will not be able to spend that entire 372 million by the end of March. We current projections are, Chairperson, and we have had numerous engagements with National Treasury, our Provincial Treasury, National Housing, and Tbilisi. We are looking at this point an amount of approximately 170 million that would need to be rolled over for the N2 specifically. We ask National Treasury permission. There are other projects ready and capable where municipalities have the capacity and projects have already been approved and designed where they, if we had to redirect that money, that we can do that now and we will have delivery, right? But that money is earmarked and dedicated for N2 only, and hence we do not, part of the conditionalities attached to that money is we cannot redirect it to other credible projects. If we had the latitude to do that, we would not sit with the rollover and we will bring greater housing opportunities to other areas of need. If National Treasury would like to change their minds on that, we would be very grateful. On the capacity of municipalities to spend question, with the local government strategic agenda that National DPLG is the champion and sponsor of, a key thrust of that is hands-on support to municipalities. So we have done a capacity assessment of all our municipalities 18 months ago and have a very intimate and detailed understanding of the capacity of each municipality, both in terms of housing delivery and a range of other basic service delivery areas. Our interventions and support, so we've got a targeted sense of which municipalities are, you know, don't have housing capacity, what are some of the areas of weaknesses, and what's the kind of skills gap that would need to be filled. The major areas of gaps that we have in municipalities that don't have good housing delivery capacity is project management capacity, is contract management capacity as well. For example, if we take a look at our Eden district and we look at a municipality like George, The current municipal manager was the previous head of housing. So that vacancy has now been there for a while. And we've been urging that municipality ensure that they fill the vacancies that they have, particularly in the housing delivery system, as a matter of urgency. And to ensure that the quality of project management expertise that they have, and contract management in particular, so that contractors are not left to their own devices. We find that often as an area of weakness, where there's not hands-on project management and oversight within the municipality specifically, and then relies on our project managers and inspectors to go and find the faults that should have been picked up by the municipality on-site, closer to the problem, and not, you know, the delayed factor that creeps in with that. So with our hands-on support program, we will have an aggressive response in looking at helping municipalities share the capacity. What we've got a shared service model going in the province as well, and it's working very successfully. We've piloted in two districts, Central Karoo and Cape Winelands, and it now will be rolled out to all of the other districts as well. And particularly where these municipalities that have difficulty in attracting the level of skill because of either it's peri-rural, you know, peri-urban location, and it's not very attractive where people want to go and settle. We're looking at getting the minimum capacity in at the district level or sharing it between different municipalities. For example, in Central Karoo, you know, the chief engineer is shared across three different municipalities, and that is part of the interventions that we've put in place that's having an impact and that's working. On the question around, we will see that the question, some mention was made about Cedarburg. Cedarburg is a project consolidated municipality. Now, one of the things that hasn't come up thus far in some of the comments and questions is the silent threat that we're dealing with. And that is our infrastructure scenario. Cedarburg, we can give them millions upon millions in addition to what they require. They will not be able to build a single house, not because they don't have capable contractors, not because they don't have capacity, not because they don't have the will, but because the infrastructure system, the subterranean infrastructure, has reached its complete capacity. So you'll be able to build top structures without plumbing in that particular unit. Now clearly that is not the quality of house that we build as this government. So it's around the quantum of investment. We've got an infrastructure assessment that's been done that's busy being completed for different municipalities. Some have completed. So for Cedarburg to solve its infrastructure backlog, it's going to cost $76 million alone. That's separate from the housing thing. And Chairperson, I need to make this very serious appeal for this committee's help and intervention, and particularly National Treasury as well. We're sitting with an illogical situation. The National Department of Housing gives housing conditional grants. One cannot use the part of the housing conditional grant to put in the pipes and the sewage system. The Department of the Provincial and Local Government sits with a MIG conditional grant. The two do not speak to each other. The one enables the other to be successful. In order to spend the $372 million on the N2 Gateway project, we need significantly more MIG funds for the subterranean investment. And if that MIG money don't come to the fore, so for example, on the N2 Gateway project, we have a shortage of $44 million that we need in addition from the MIG money in order to make those top structures work. Without that, the one is hampering the other from working. And that is our critical stuck point at this stage. Now we've got significant amount of MIG money that's underspent. And there seems to be a reluctance from National DPLG to say that they cannot move money between provinces. I don't understand why not. And this is a point that Chairperson made two or three meetings ago, to look at what is it that we need to do to unlock underspending between provinces and redirecting it with all the necessary agreements in place. And that's part of what we've started to, you know, get the relationship to between Northern and Eastern Cape, where on the 15th of March, the three MECs of those three provinces will meet to sign a memorandum of understanding to look at particular areas of collaboration, including possible funding collaboration of how do we look for a win-win rather than just taking from another province without any due consideration. But Chairperson, that is a problem that's been underestimated to date, and it's setting us up in a very, very direct way. In terms of the question around the gap, is it land, is it poor performing contractors, and so on, it would be useful, honourable members, to understand the particular area that the member visited, where these units are, as described, so that one can, you know, understand more specifically. I cannot just speak vaguely to that, so that would be really helpful, and it's concerning to go and check that out. In terms of, is it land, is it poor performing contractors? Now, in this province, we're sitting with an infrastructure boom. You can just drive around the city, you can see all the cranes up in the air. We don't, you know, cranes are being booked out for the next 5 years, you know, on the other side of our hosting, you know, 2010. So we've got an oversupply of good quality contractors. We are spoiled for choice in this province. So that's not the issue. The issue around, yes, land, the question about land needs to be qualified is the cost of land in this province. We're sitting with a land market, with a housing market that's completely skewed. And it's part of our interventions as government through housing delivery to fundamentally intervene in the housing market that drives up the land prices and the housing prices completely skewed. And the way to intervene in the last skewed land market is towards mixed income, so that we go into the backyard of people to say that why not have low-income housing and mixed-income housing in the previous areas that's considered untouchable. And that is going to need political will to go there, to ensure that we start to redirect this, you know, land market that continually and will continuously, if it's left unchanged, to squeeze out the poor and push out the people to the peripheries of the urban core and continue sprawl, which is highly unsustainable and undesirable because people will continue having to spend 2 to 3 hours to get from work and back and spend between 30 and 50 rand a day just on transport. In terms of particular use of our site land much more calculatedly and strategically is to look at, we've got a number of very attractive projects that we will be rolling out for social housing and so on, but I won't share more about that right now. In terms of who builds the houses, I hope I've answered that adequately in the first question. In terms of Tubalisha, yes, Chairperson, we do have a relationship with Tubalisha in this province. Tubalisha is the agency contracted by National Housing to project manage the delivery of the N2 with a consortium of contractors on the N2 in partnership with ourselves. If Chairperson is asking me about my joy with Tubalisha, that's a different question altogether. But let me just say, yes, we do have a relationship with Tubalisha. In terms of the municipal spending, now doing the figures, we're seeing this extra money, and where did that extra money come from for our spending? We've got an excellent relationship with our provincial treasury, and provincial treasury has given us an extra $30 million for this financial year that we've directed to other municipalities, and hence you've seen overspending in certain municipalities. That way we have topped up their housing conditional grant from extra money that we've had from our provincial revenue sources directed. We've also got an arrangement within the province that if there's any department that underspends on their own budget, that money gets redirected in the province for housing delivery. And that is where some extra revenue comes from as well. And for this new financial year, there's another $30 million that provincial treasury has directed for housing delivery, and we would look for if there's more within the province as well. Chairperson, in terms of the constitutional reference, in terms of...
caution.
That's fine, then, Chairperson, I'll end there.
So that we do all these things. But thanks for that, and we will follow up on the Lindaba. Because I think one of the things we might want to do is also just to call some of the municipalities under one roof with yourself. We might want to do that. So that, you're raising an interesting issue, the fluidity, the political issues, et cetera, that do hamper delivery. And then maybe we might deal with those bodies. But thank you really for the comprehensive responses. Enjoy your day further, where you're going to. And let's take the North Cup. You are released, madam. North Cup.
Chairperson, members and colleagues, a very good morning to you. I would like to apologize on behalf of our MEC for not being present here. He's lost his dad, so he had to go to Springbok. And I will start with my presentation, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Next slide. In terms of our presentation, which is focusing very much on the third quarter as per your request to the province, I'm going to start off by saying that we received a total allocation, the smallest, of course, of $104.7 million. We've spent $22.6 million to date as of December 2006. Our expenditure stands at 88%. And for the third quarter, we actually spent 50.79%, a million. That was made up of the drawdowns in the first, second, and third quarter. And what you would see there in the next slide, please, that we have actually overspent by $1.6 million. But I know the PFMA doesn't allow over expenditure. The provincial treasury, it came from the provincial budget, actually. The breakdown of the expenditure, you could just go back. Yeah. The breakdown of the expenditure of the $50.7 million, Chairperson, goes in terms of new business for from P1 to P3, that is infrastructure. We spend $10.3 million. If you look at the site services in various stages of completion is 314, services completed is 386 sites. If you look at P1 to P3, Chair, that is estimated figures, because when it comes to P1 and P2, you can't really identify how many sites are there because the town planning layout is not approved. Then when it comes to P5, Chairperson, the job structures we've completed in the third quarter, 477. And 1,310 is in various stages of completion. The completed top structure came to the expenditure of $14.7 million, and the one under construction is $23.5 million. The old business, we have some old stock, which we are maintaining. It cost us $615,164. We utilize our OPSCAP to pay Tbilisi. Like the Northern Cape, Tbilisi is also appointed as an agent to assist the province with project management. So we've paid 1.5 to them. And they're managing quite a few of our block projects, specifically in the DR region. The next slide. This is actually a graphical analysis of our three-quarter spending. The next slide. Also the graphical analysis, but you would see the expenditure basically peaked in November and December, Chairperson. This is as a result of us actually, the next slide, the building the capacities of the municipalities within the province by utilizing Tbilisha, by appointing additional building inspectors on a contract position and filling vacant funded posts within the department in terms of supporting housing delivery. Hence, we were able to actually overspend by 1.6. And the projects are very, very closely monitored through frequent meetings on site and frequent inspections on site to ensure quality control. I've addressed that too. Next slide. Chairperson, and the next slide actually gives you the number of sites, I mean, houses completed per district and the areas, which actually totals to 477. The other slide, unfortunately, is missing there, Chair. Before I say thank you, I would like to just address a few challenges which we are faced with. The first one, I think it's going to spill over into the next financial year's budget, so I thought I might as well bring it to your attention. We will have actually overspent our budget in this financial year by 50 million. Unfortunately, we will have to actually hold over the invoices of those contractors and developers for the next financial year, comes April, because that work will be done. If you go back to the slide where we say we are actually under construction 1,300, so I'm appealing, as Cape Town has appealed in Western Cape, you know, if they can redirect the funding to the Northern Cape, so we wouldn't have that impact in the next financial year budget. So, and the other concern is we are undertaking two pilot projects in the Northern Cape, that is the Lerato Park and Obox. These were national pilot projects. Believe me, Chairperson, we have no funding for them for the next financial year. And if we start and stop a project, it's not economically viable and sustainable. Actually, that project will actually cost you double in the ensuing years. The other concern is the MIG funding, as my colleague mentioned, for other projects which are in the 2007-2008 financial year, even though we won't have a problem in terms of expenditure. And material supply is another concern in the Northern Cape. So those are basically our challenges, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
You know, one of the things we might want to do, it's a pity the Western Cape has left. I hope Kwane has captured this thing on the MIG funding. Because we shall have a discussion we've got to have a very strong discussion with DPLG. It would be nice just to have something in writing from you officially to ask in by Monday or Tuesday. Because in March we will have to we will deal with the Division of Revenue Bill, and part of that has to do with MIG funding. Now, part of the question that really worries us is the equitability of the MIG funding. So it would be nice just to have some of the salient issues that you think are problematic about MIG, so that when we engage with DPLG, we might just want to bring those to their attention. And everything with that. I also had a long discussion on budget day, just after budget, with FFC, just about the whole range of these things, but MIG was also topmost in our discussion with the delegation from the FFC. So we really are, it looks like we have serious problems there. Now, say that, hey, Judy.
Thank you, sir. I must also tender the apology of my MEP for being unable to be with this meeting today.
No, can I just say this? Don't worry about the apology you're going to receive. Eh? Let's just be a bit economic about that time.
Thank you very much.
Because I do think that if you are here, when we've got an MEC, it's a nice bonus, it's fine. But at least just proceed for now. Don't worry about this.
Thank you, Chair. We making an illustration there that in 2005... Yeah, 2005-06, we were able to, at this juncture, build about 10,735 houses. And that by end December this year, we had completed 9,056. We are confident that towards the end of the financial year, we will be able to reach our estimated target of 11,000 in terms of our projections. That is particularly important. If we look at the grant chairperson and the programs as illustrated there, our allocated funding for this year is about 522 million. You see on the screen there, it actually projects the 528, which includes our additional 6 million rand for rollover in the last year for human settlement. So it actually gives a total there of 528. Our expenditure has been 296 up to the end of December, and the amount available is about 232,467,000. In our slide, next slide, we're indicating that we have the remaining funds as on January 2007 of 232 million, and we demonstrate that for January we have already had an actual expenditure of close to 19 million rand. And that up to the 20th of February, as we are reporting today, that this expenditure for February has gone to 31 million. We are hoping that we will spend about 39 million rand by the end of February. But I must indicate also that there will be effects in February in relation to some work that we are doing. We are also projecting in March an expenditure of about 35 million rand. But in dealing with our situation in the province, we had to ensure that we are able to deal with the purchasing of materials and assisting contractors in dealing with that with an amount of 89 million rand. That's a process that we are busy finalizing and dealing with it now. It will also have an impact on the February expenditure. We have been finalizing the list for the people's housing process and are transferring 50 million rand to the subsidiary of NACHA in the province, Zebra, so that it is able to manage the funding on behalf of the support organizations. In the past, we used to pay this money directly into the trust account of support organizations. We have learned a lesson and we are trying to streamline the usage of funding in relation to this organization, Chairperson. There are various challenges, of course, in relation to administration of this processes or projects. We've indicated in the past that we have lost technical inspectors. We are in a process of appointing consulting engineers to assist us in this regard. However, we are also busy dealing with our situation internally. These engineers will also be looking at once more ensuring that we improve on quality. We are also busy now dealing with, engaged with intensive training with Mangau Municipality specifically, which is a municipality that is our pilot on accreditation. Part of the approval has already been granted for the first level accreditation on this municipality. No, thank you very much, Shepard.
Right, that's the only three problems. Can we then take the kingdom? KZN.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to start with the key focus areas of the department, the province, include the eradication of slums. In terms of our expenditure on the conditional grant, out of the just over 1 billion rand, we've spent 780 million rand, which is about 74% of the conditional grant as at the end of December. We have had challenges over the preceding quarters, but we seem to have resolved a lot of those, and the expenditure is now on track with where it should be. In terms of normal expenditure over the whole department, you can see the department as a whole, our budget of 1.2 billion rand, we spend 908 million rand, 72% of the budget. Only one real area of understanding being in terms of our planning and development program, where there's been slower than expected expenditure in terms of the capacity build, the consumer education program, which is now in progress, but it's going to have some savings, which we are redirecting within the department to improve the planning capacity of the department and within the metro, basically the metropolitan area. Since the other programs, they are in line to expend the entire budget, and as a department, we will spend our entire budget by the end of the financial year, which you can see there graphically in terms of the graph. There was originally quite a big gap between the projection and the actual expenditure that has been closed almost completely now, and the projection is to spend the entire budget. Capacity constraints. A couple of capacity constraints in terms of the housing demand, which we are addressing, the capacity in the municipalities, which we have an agreement with the Flemish government to assist us to build capacity in the municipalities. Specifically in the project consolidating municipality, and that program is doing well. The pilot project has been completed, and we are busy commencing the second phase of that program at the moment. The department's in the full monthly report, our conditional grant business plan for the next financial year has been submitted. In order.
Right, while you're there, to Belisa?
Belisa? We do have three projects with to Belisa in rural area. No.
Let's see, to Belisa?
Thank you, Chester.
Just before that. All right, yeah.
Okay, we do have a relationship in the province with Tubelisha.
The relationship with Tubelisha?
It's very good and very strong.
Okay.
We have three projects that they are project managing in the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal, three rural projects.
Okay.
So we're doing well.
Christy, you did not say a thing about Tubelisha?
Chairperson, we're still coaching each other with Tubelisha. No formal relationship has been established now.
Thank you very much. But let's then take those questions of the three provinces, Free State, Northern Cape, and KZN members. I would want Dr. Slang to come in at some stage, just on the Tubelisha. I had raised some issues about Tubelisha, but I would want her also to come in just to say one or two things on Tubelisha. Right, Ms. Robinson?
Could you tell me a bit more about Tubelisha? I need to know Sir.
No, no. I do.
Yes, sir, I want to
learn from young men.
Well, if you could explain to us, it would be great. Thank you.
It's an agency, but we'll know more about it. Don't worry about that. Was that the question you really wanted to raise with me? Okay. Right, Mr. Porter?
Okay, thank you. Yes, regarding of the free site, the cheetah. I must say that, you know, the MEC was previously with the USDA. He commit himself with me that he will build 10,000 houses before the end of December. And actually, I think, I must say, that was done really well, because there's only 944 houses short what he was promised here when he was sitting there, really. Yeah, and I think they have achieved. But yeah, just in regarding of the Northern Cape, it was just reporting that 13 million rand invoices will be held this financial year to next year financial when they receive the money. I'm just worried about, again, when is that contract completed? Is it still in process? And what happens with the contractors? I'm always concerned if they are not paid, that with interest and all that type of things, and they have to pay labor, what will happen then with that contractor? I mean, there's not, some of them, I think, there's not big contractors, small contractors, SMEs. What will happen with them in regarding how will they survive for 3-4 months if that invoices will be off track, because they can only be paid perhaps in May or June or something like that? What will happen then with them? Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yes, yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I think that Northern Cape, maybe they have built now capacity, right? And they were 88% in December. Now, what worries me about Northern Cape, Chair, is already the HLD is projecting the overspending. He is appealing to you, but I'm sure she missed something from the HLD from Western Cape. HLD from Western Cape says they from Western Cape shuffled funds around there within the what they call it department in terms of their capacity to spend. But also the province contribution. Maybe you can also try to exhaust that first. But maybe what Northern Cape, I think that if we can say is doing well. But it's unfortunate that the member from Northern Cape is here. I don't know for the past, and is not here. But for the past hearing, he has been complaining about the quality of the product on the ground, especially at salt like this. I can't pinpoint exactly where this particular problem are. Now, what are you doing about the quality now of the housing there? And thank you, Northern Cape, Free State. I hear that the MEC is running away because Peter is no longer winning here. Chair, the Free State, they were well on target, now at 74%. In January, it's a pity that we don't have a full a full report in terms of how they have been spending over the time. In January, they spent 19 million, February 31 million. Projecting to spend 35 in December. Now, I'm not sure. It's a pity that we're not able to compare your spending from the previous other month. But it's a bit worried if I'm not I'm a bit worried if it's not a strike, you know, if all of a sudden we're going to be able to spend this much, because we must spend this budget by the end of the year. But I'm saying it's difficult because we haven't provided that us with figures from the previous month that we can properly compare. But I do what you call a suspect that you have not spent as much in the previous month. So can you just confirm that or dispel my suspicion that it's not there what you call a spike mistake? Thank you, sir. The kingdom. Okay, now the kingdom. Now, sir, why did I say the first date is on target when you said 56%? That's not, I made a mistake. In fact, for the Free State, so that we mustn't see the expenditure, they hid it. It's not in the presentation, for that we must not see it. Why? I mean, yes. You see, my suspicion. Yeah. You see, you are at 56%. And the colleague said the NEC, was posting the other day that you will overspend. And the chairperson was worried about the projections at the beginning of the year. And the other department from Free State, was it Public Works chairperson? They said that there's got an abundance of capacity there. Where is the problem? Is it, has it got to do with all kinds of things? Has it got to do with capacity? What you call the situation now, HOD? At one stage, the municipalities were delivering houses, there were problems, that privilege was withdrawn. Where are you now in terms of this expenditure? I suspect that your projection as well of this understanding is being understated here. Five not utilized. Is this 656? What is this 656? Is it millions or what? But it can be, because your outstanding amount is 232. The province which has the name. Now, it is the province, actually, that I said that I wanted to say it's a bit on target at 74%. But the issue maybe that we share that maybe our select committee on housing would have to look at is the quality of this housing. Otherwise, that is a comment perhaps that one has with the KZN. Thank you.
All right. KZN. You're saying the conditional grant allocation has been growing at a higher rate than the equitable share allocation. Now, what do you mean by this? It's precisely because your housing funding, and all of your housing funding, is just this conditional grant. integrated housing, etc., etc. So exactly what do you mean here? Do you have some other allocation from the equitable share in the fund, which is very much useful, by the way, if you've got any? But can you elaborate here? But we also know that all provinces are using conditional grant more than the equitable share. Number two, you're saying it is becoming increasingly difficult to fund the management of the conditional grant from an allocation which is not linked to this grant. What is meant by this one again? Then, I think for all the three provinces, at what stage are you in terms of accrediting those identified municipalities? Then, first aid, how credible are these projections? 35 million projected mark, projected expenditure, PHP 50 million. Just how credible are these figures? And then, Northern Cape, you're in trouble. Nobody is going to bail you out. And therefore, how are you going to deal with this 50 million rand overspend? Now, one of the things that is interesting with the Northern Cape, you're saying top structures are under various stages of construction. I think it would be useful just to know what are these stages. Can we then allow the responses to start with North Cape?
Thank you, Chairperson. Regarding the concern with regards to the 50 million, basically in 2006-2007, we were under the assumption that Provincial Treasury was going to give us 50 million from the equitable share. Unfortunately, that funding didn't come, so we've actually projected projects in excess of our conditional grant of over 50 million, and we are managing the situation.
Hang on. You projected projects in a conditional grant much, much higher. In other words, what you're saying is that your business plan was not...
Implemented.
No, you implemented projects that were far beyond the conditional grant. What you're saying, therefore, is that your business plan was not reliable.
No, Chair, I wouldn't say that. The business
That's
plan...
the implication, I guess, from where I'm sitting.
Sorry, Chair. The business plan was for 104 million, and that was a business plan that was submitted to National Treasury. Over and above that, there was an additional business plan to our provincial treasury to say that, listen, we will be able to spend projects in addition to 30 million. I mean, to the amount of 30 million, on the assumption that we would have got that money because the previous year they gave us 20 million. So on that basis, we have actually continued with these projects. But it won't really be a crisis as such because, as the Honourable Chairperson said, now what is it going to cost to the developers and the contractors on ground? Now these projects are in the various stages. Maybe I need to explain those stages to you at this stage. One of them is we needed to buy material. The other one is goes to your foundation. Then the next stage is your wall plate. The next stage is the roof. And then you get a completion certificate and you pay the balance. So those are the five stages in which a housing construction is undertaken. So, these contractors that are going to be...
Madam, hang on. You're saying there's no crisis about this 30 million. You have not resolved this question for me.
I'm coming to it, Chair.
Please do that.
These contractors that are currently busy with these projects, they will be submitting their invoices towards the end of March. Probably after the 25th of March. And anyway, in Provincial Treasury, you also have a cut-off date because you need to reconcile your accounts and things like that. So these invoices will basically be paid over on the 1st of April when the new allocation comes to us.
Now we've got to get into the new money.
That's the challenge I'm saying, sir. So, but we are making...
Just hang on.
But I not understand this. Is that 13 million rand from province? 13. That was actually carried over now. When the budget of the national budget for the previous year comes to this year, they know that they will receive another 4 million. And the same time, on that stage, they would already allocated money from the provinces. So, in the beginning of the financial year, there was no money made available for the province to the department. Those setting of money, million what they were, suspect they will get, they didn't get. But they continued with the project until now. So in the beginning of the financial year, they know already they will not get the money. But they continue with the project until now, and now they stop the invoices. So that's not clear for me, sir.
Now, the HOC is saying they will use the 2008 budget to pay for 2006-2007 projects. What does that mean practically? What it actually means is that delivery for 2007-2008 is going to compromise as a result of this arrangement. Is that what you mean? What you want to do? Thank you.
Just to explain, with housing construction, a project doesn't complete itself within a year. It actually spills over, maybe to the second year, depending on the size of the project. So these are projects that will basically be carried over to the next financial year in terms of expenditure. So that's the reason why I say this expenditure. These projects have just started. They didn't start way beyond when we were expecting the allocation. They've just started now in the third quarter, say coming on to the fourth quarter. That's why we have, in terms of P5, 1,310 structures under construction. So those projects will basically actually be completed within the 2007-2008 financial year. But we have already sent a submission through to the provincial treasury to say, listen, in the 2007-2008 financial year, we would have to source this additional funding. We have to basically downscale on some of the projects, but the MEC's priority, Chairperson, is to eradicate all the block projects we have in the Northern Cape.
Now, Sunny Chairperson, I think that my colleague here, from reporter, says, or he talks about planning. You go to the national department and say, Northern Cape, we're going to want to do so many, what you call it, units.
That man is interfering with my daughter, and he has no permission to do that for now. Can't impose a plan.
Yeah, you go to the National Treasury or Provincial Treasury and National Department and say, the Northern Cape will deliver so many units at the end of the year. That is your planning.
Yes.
That is your projection. And on that basis, then you are given a certain funding for that period of time. That is the question. That is the gist of the question. But we say, because your planning is wrong, there's a problem with your planning. Now you have to spend the other funding, which is something else, which now you have made other projections, which you have not taken into account on the what you call, you have not taken into account when you made the, you prepared your projection for 2007-2008. That's why we're talking about somewhere you're going to compromise other projects. But maybe say we can proceed.
No, we cannot proceed. Look, Philip, can you come in here?
I think basically the issue that raised, like, it seems to be there's going to be an overspending in this current financial year. There's going to be a delay in terms of the payment of contractors. That can somehow be seen as contrary to the trade regulation in terms of paying within 30 days. It adds to what Mr. Botha said with regard to contractors not being able to survive because they are being paid late. But it also relates to, as you mentioned, actually, that the impact on next year's project as well, and given the fact that legislature appropriates the funds for a particular purpose. So that's actually the type of challenge that this project's overexpenditure relates to.
No, hang on, cool down. Just cool down, please.
Oh,
we are facing a crisis here, and you are trying to convince us it's not a crisis. And the problem here is that these are majority views that see this as a crisis. Precisely because an area is going to be compromised, whether you like it or not. Because already you are going to dip into the new financial year. And this is the problem. And the problem that you have is that you did what you did on an assumption that you are going to be given 30 million. And it was not given. And that's the problem. And therefore, because you are desperate now to do all these things, you are going to do all these other things. So this is where our problem is. Now, give us good assurance that this is not going to happen. But we, from where we sit here, we see it's going to happen. How are you going to resolve this matter? Cool down and just take a deep breath and then respond properly now.
Thank you.
Okay, Sandra.
Thanks, Chairperson. You know, this whole issue raises several concerns, and basically the colleagues tried to explain that housing is a multi-year project, but if we look at what we've been trying to, you know, get departments to do over the last few years is to plan housing or plan any project as a multi-year project using the budget over the NCEF. And so what you are really saying doesn't hold in this argument to say that you're going to hold over the payments to next year because some of the activity should have happened next year. And I'm gravely concerned because this definitely shows the non-alignment between the planning activities and the budgeting. And this is our big concern.
We're still coming to you, Don. Last comment from you?
Yes. In reality, is that, and I think the issue we agree that it was a total overspending, and that was overspending. You can't carry money over invoices to next year what you not was budget for, what you were not planned for, and try to get money from the next year budget to this one. So, in fact, on the short list. That was an overspending because they spent money what they didn't have in their in the budget. That is the shortest to that.
Misalignment. Proceed, madam.
In short, the answer is yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. So we are actually going back to our provincial treasury to ensure that we could actually get that funding. So be busy with provincial treasury negotiating with them. And the other question the Honourable Chair asked regarding the quality of the houses, I'm not sure which specific project the Honourable Chair
used.
Generally, Chair, I did make mention in my presentation that some of the houses that were built from 94 to now. Okay, houses built in this financial year, Chair, I can assure you they are of quality. Thank you.
Let's take the first thing. The first thing are still ready. They're still arguing among themselves, that's fine.
No, thanks, Chair. We it's just unfortunate that we did not reflect the slide on the trend of expenditure over time, and we want to apologize for that. We had no intentions of hiding any information from the committee.
Our average expenditure has actually been 25 million rand a month. If you look at our trend, we will make that information available, Chair. Obviously, there has actually been more effort done in ensuring that we accelerate expenditure in the month of January, February, and so on. It's an engagement, further engagement that we have done, given the fact that we did do further allocations in September, October last year, in ensuring that we are able to deal. So we are seeing those results in the last quarter, and we are hoping to deal with that situation in the next financial year. The money or the figures that we are projecting here, Chair, are realistic figures that are actually happening. The 50 million rand, as I've indicated, this is where we have now finalized the beneficiary list for PHP, and the money is supposed to be transferred into the trust, the support organization. In the sense, we have taken the decision to transfer it into a larger subsidiary in the province. So this is actual funding that's actually going there. And then here is the material purchase for an amount of 89 million rand. So the figures that we are actually indicating here are actuals in relation to the processes for this month. It's not something that we are simply imagining. But the fact of the matter is that Honorable Member Soboni, it will definitely give us a spark, which we are hoping that we will be able to deal with that situation better in the next financial year by improving on our planning. But this is the realistic situation that is facing us on the ground, Chairperson. What actually highlights the areas in relation to accreditation? I think we have highlighted there that we are busy finalizing capacity processes, dealing with the HSS for the Mangaung local municipality and so on. But we have identified five other municipalities. We are also busy with capacity building processes in those other five bigger municipalities. So we'll have six municipalities at the end of the day. But Mangaung is already accredited at level one, and we are busy dealing with that in that regard. Thank you very much.
Yes, the clock has been finished.
All right. The HOD interstate agrees with us that this means a start. In other words, we're not going to get delivered union. They were going to commit this fund as it stands. Can you confirm that?
Confirm, sir.
Yes, okay, yes, I advise to the issue, okay, if you haven't got an answer, put it in writing, don't come with other issues.
No, part of the discussion, we shall have to engage, especially the Free State, Mpumalanga, and Eastern Cape, I know Mr. Phillips does not agree with this one. But then there's no two ways about it, unfortunately. I've seen in the new DORA there's so much money given to these provinces. And where I'm seated, part of the discussion that we will have in March is whether we should allow this. In other words, whether we should not reduce this amount. And therefore these three provinces must persuade us. In fact, we have also invited the national minister to come during those public hearings so that we give you commensurate to your capacity. And I'm saying because also this constitution now alerts us to this matter. In other words, allocations must be done on the basis, not on the assumption, that you've got the capacity and the efficiency to do these things. So clearly, we don't want to falter with the Constitution. Don't want to be at fault with the Constitution. But also there are issues in DORA. So I'm just saying, part of the further engagement as we go into what you are suspecting, members, issues of understanding, essentially,
especially within the three provinces, is we still need to have a further engagement. In fact, I'm not sure whether we've invited them as the specific provinces. They must invite them, precisely because on the day we're dealing with DORA now, they must come forward because national departments are already invited. Just to come and justify why, and then we should allow the, let me just tell you what the allocations are. It's very, this brand new Bible that we still have to create properly. So that, schedule 5. Yeah. The Eastern Cape is getting a whooping 1 billion rand. 1 billion. Swiss State, 653 million. And yet you've not been able to spend this. Then Mpumalanga, 526 million. Now, and this money in the coming years, from the Eastern Cape in the next financial year is 1.2 billion, 1.4 in the outer year. Free State 772 million, 892 million. Mpumalanga 629 736. Now, clearly, it is really serious if we are going to do those things in the context of these problems of capacity constraints. So clearly, this is what we're going to pass now in March. Now you must persuade us. Surely. It means then, Dr. Suklal and Philip, you need to have an engagement with them. To persuade you too, to be able to persuade us that this is the right answer. In other words, from today, you've got about a week just to engage with them and their national department to deal with this matter. Okay? Please do that. But then the last thing, Ms. Dr. Sula, can you comment on the issues that I raised on Tubelicha, please?
Thanks, Your President. If I look at the role that Tubelicha was supposed to have played, they were... Yeah, but first of all, Tubelicha is a public entity and it's established in terms of a Section 21 company. And the DORA is very, very clear about the involvement of a public entity in the implementation of a program or project. Now, Tubelicha was the involvement of Tubelicha is basically to assist the Western Cape to project manage and implement the N2 gateway, and that is how it has been utilized for the 2006-07 financial year. The grave concern is that many provinces have now contracted Tubelicha to either project manage the housing or to assist with the block projects. And the concern is that if they are doing this, then in terms of which clause in the DORA are they doing this? Because it's very, very clear that you cannot employ or use the services of a public entity unless it is in the grant framework. And as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't appear anywhere. And neither does it appear even in the grant framework for the new financial year. So if that is happening, then it is an irregular activity, and this needs to be corrected. And I can guarantee you that this will lead to a qualification.
All right, that's where we are. So, Goni, but David M is still caucusing.
Yeah. And I'll say, we're not a select committee on finance. I hope that, on housing, I hope that housing will invite to the later one day. Because I don't know, just to agree with Dr. Sutler, I don't know how to edit a court, maybe as a peripheral, the tender, because my experience with Tbilisi HOD from Gauteng is there in terms of if their own capacity in service to develop, but it's something else. If something else, maybe that is not, we don't have to entertain here.
No, no, we will have to entertain, but not now.
Not
the matter that we must delve back into.
When you go back to Dora, yes.
Right. We've got to. Look, because as Dr. Suplau says, there was a very specific reason for that, and that was the end to Gateway. But we don't want to talk about end to Gateway and its own issues, all right? For now. Let's have them say that then, okay?
Chair, I must just say that, you know, this information that I've now got about Sibelisha is very important, and this is why I asked you the question. You know, it's just a name to me and I don't understand what it's about. I can't really have any relevant questioning when it's being used in other contexts as well. So can we please have the information shared with the committee as well?
Don't worry about these things. Listen to the young man all the time. You will be wiser. Right on. Hey, then, I'm sure the caucus is finished now.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members and colleagues. I think there were two questions directed at KZN. It was the issue of being on target, but a concern around the quality. I think all we can say in terms of quality is that the inspections are undertaken or inspections are undertaken before we make the final payment, and we do have monitors to monitor the project and we've engaged on a process that is run by the NHBRC. So at the moment we're quite confident as to the quality. Obviously there would be exceptions here and there. The next one was the issue around page 5 of our presentation on the issue of organizational structure. I think what was meant there when the CFO was presenting was that the conditional grant allocation is actually increasing year on year. And if you were to make an analysis until the outer years, maybe, because we've got it in front of us, 09, 010, you would find that in actual fact, we using the same amount of capacity that is within the department to manage an even bigger budget as it goes forward. And therefore, there is no alignment between the equitable share in terms of which we use our personnel expenditure or something like that, and the increase in the conditional grant. And therefore, as of now, we're actually projecting that our capacity is going to be less and less in terms of that. Because if you look at 2009-10, I mean, it's a projection.
Well, the more money you get, you're having problems with your capacity. Is that what you say?
I'm saying that the increase between the grant and the capacity
in the department.
It's not even capacity in the department, it's the increase in the two funds, the grant funding and the equitable share.
Emma, correct this thing.
Yeah.
Are you saying because the money is growing?
Yeah.
It is too heavy for you people to carry.
No.
What are you saying? Make it simple for me.
Okay, let me make it simple. I'm also not a financial guru, but I'm saying... I'm saying the more the money grows, the capacity is growing as well. Basically, in simple English, that's what I'm saying.
And now, whose responsibility is that?
It's my responsibility.
Beautiful.
The responsibility of the province.
Good.
We thought we should place it as part of the challenge because the trend in the past has been that while the grant grew, the actual percentage in terms of which the equitable share in terms of our personnel grew was like 0.5% or less. But I would like to give an opportunity to myself.
Have your own discussion with your own function.
Okay.
But then accreditation, at what stage are you in terms of accreditation?
Okay, there was no question around accreditation, but I can answer that. Okay, we've got a Tegwini Metro, we've got only one metro in KZN, and the accreditation process is going well. Obviously, all the metros we were asked to accredit them at level one, accreditation. So it's going well. We have no problems with that.
Here with the Northern Cape, we've granted conditional approval for the 5 district municipalities and 3 local municipalities.
District?
Yeah. We were mandated by national
to. Have you capacitated them?
We are in the process of doing it.
And yet you also gave conditional accreditation, having not capacitated. That's a serious one. Proceed, madam.
We granted them conditional approval, so we never grant them level one as yet. We're basically providing support funding. That funding is coming directly.
What conditional thing you're talking about?
One would say, in principle approval, we're utilizing funding from National Housing to build capacity within the municipalities and the district municipalities. So that in the province, they decided that they would rather go for district municipalities so that they can support the smaller municipalities that don't have the capacity.
But do the districts have capacity?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. So they're utilizing...
You know what you must do for me?
Yes, sir.
Give me a list of those that you've given this conditional accreditation.
Okay.
And at what stage are they in terms of the capacity, etc.
Okay.
We will have to find a way of following that up.
Thank you, Chief.
Because we know the only targeted one there is Salt Lake in the Northern Cape, and even nationally. But it's fine. I mean, the biggest and the most powerful, even in terms of budget, is Salt Lake. Am I correct? Let's hear from the national chair. There's somebody from the national department. Can you tell us something here?
Chair, with regards to the accreditation, we are... Chair, I cannot support or comment specifically on the Northern Cape.
Okay, that's fine. You're on the wrong.
But the National Department must help us in the next few days with this.
Okay. Let's break for tea now.
Sorry, yes. Yes. Sorry, one short tea. KZN, they said they inspect at the end of the project before they fail. What happens in other stages of building? Because that creates a serious problem. If there's not inspection through the process, then you have, and we find it now, my problem, previously, that was coming to the end and then the house is not bad quality on the top of it.
Thank you, Chair. I think we misunderstood. The project, obviously, all the phases are inspected at each and every stage, because we don't obviously transfer money to the municipalities and let them, you know, go to town. But what you're saying is that we inspect. But at the final stages, when it's closed out, we also have to make sure that we have the inspection of the entire product on the ground. Thank you.
Let's have tea for 15 minutes. Let me have the gentleman from Limpopo.
Thank you, Chair. Can I start?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say to the expenditure. Yeah, Limpopo was the IPU at the beginning of the year, Chair. We have tried to recover. I think we moved out of the high table at the ward. At the 31st December, our expenditure was 328 million, which represents around 63%. And now, as I'm talking to the chair, we are at 376
which is selling 2%. But this morning when I phoned, I already had more or less 400 million. So which means we are moving. So this is without rollover care. The next slide, we have got a rollover, which is now, which is added. It reduced our expenditure from our 60% from 63% to 60% at December. So that, and then by now, in February, it reduced from 72% to 68%. Now the challenges that we have here, which I think we need to highlight, is that the capacity of our contractors to deliver at large scale has been a serious challenge. So what we have done to address this problem, initially here we used to appoint more than 100 contractors on site, which are largely imaging. So you will find the contractors taking very long to build more or less about 200 houses. It takes more or less two to 3 years. In some cases, they even abandon the project. But we have now said that as from now on, would make sure that our contracting strategy does consider contractors with capacity. The other thing has been raised by other provinces, the issue of need. We have examined their planning coordination. And then the land constraints is also a challenge. Limpopo appear like it's a place with a lot of land, but if you look at where people move in the city. And that is where the biggest challenge is. Now, the strategic intervention, you can see there, the first one, we have decided to mix our contractors with highly capacitated. This year, for 7 and 8, we already appointed 4 contractors to handle more than 6% of the units to be constructed. So moving from 100 to more or less 4 contractors, this is a big leap. So the issue of planning has been a challenge. We have indicated that we are going to address issue of what planning. Already we have, together with the municipalities, are involved with the alignment of IDPs to have an housing IDP chapter in a municipal IDPs. Thus, in short, I may go back to the expenditure. That's where the chair has the most interest.
Right, let's take one of the beautiful provinces in Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Chairperson. The figures that you see on the screen indicate the expenditure trend from 2001 until 06-07, the current financial year. Yeah, the figures indicate our expenditure trend from 2001 right up to 06-07. We have indicated that we had an allocation of 421 million we have received 313 million, and out of that we have spent 184 million, and what remains unspent is 129 million. We also have a human settlement redevelopment grant, which had a rollover of 1.8 million, and we have spent 969, and we are remaining with 907 out of that. Now we have highlighted the percentages that you spent to date, which is reflected at 59% instead of 75%. And some of the reasons that have led to the under expenditure is the challenges that we have had with the capacity of the contractors in the province. And then we've also highlighted that within our planning unit and our project management unit, we do also have challenges of capacity there. The baseline allocation that we have also is a bit of a challenge because it doesn't allow us to attract the skilled people, especially in the technical unit. We have come up with strategies that you are going to use so that we can address the under expenditure, and one of them is the review of the organogram. We've had meetings with our provincial treasury and Westside to assist us with the review and the funding of that organogram. And in addition to that, our provincial treasury has appointed two engineers from AFRICON to assist us with the housing project. We have also recruited Cuban professionals to assist us. We've had to cancel the contractors who are not performing well. We've had to terminate their contracts. And we have sat down and identified ways and means of boosting our expenditure to ensure that we spend all the money before the end of the financial year. And if you look at the kind of history that we come from, we are focusing on all the old projects, especially those where we had incomplete housing. And then those projects are of such a nature that, you know, they are scattered everywhere. They are very, very small because, if you remember quite well, we were using small contractors to build in those projects that were scattered all over the province. And because of that, we couldn't move fast. And now we have decided that we should move towards accelerated housing. And we will do that and purchase properties in the inner city so that we can deal with the inner city regeneration. And we will also purchase land so that we can start moving towards BNG. And we have identified 8 municipalities as economic development areas that we are targeting for this initiative. And we are well advanced in terms of the processes of purchasing those properties, and we believe that it will be finalized before the end of the financial year. And the bulk of the money that is unspent at this point in time should be spent by the 31st of March. And the other move that you are taking is that of moving towards social housing, particularly rental stock, as an instrument of choice for the delivery in the province. We have had one case of a municipality that has requested bridging finance for the servicing of sites, and we've had to look at it as a special case because there was a problem of contamination of water in that area, and that needed urgent attention. And because of that, we have taken the decision that we will give bridging finance, and when the municipality has raised its own sources of funding, we will then reinvest and channel those funding towards housing. And that's basically the end of the presentation. The rest of it deals with NIC funding, and I don't think it was part of this meeting. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. beginning to move towards implementing BNC scheme. But the biggest challenge was the question of land and land in well-located areas. So what we've been able to do, we've had a breakthrough because public land has made certain sources of land available to us. And some of it is in well-located areas. So the planning thereof has commenced. But in terms of Mandela Municipality, which has been selected to be our added renewal point, we've been successful in negotiating property that can enable us to put rental stock right in the city center, which will also enable us to achieve our integration objectives. The evaluators are going to be submitting an evaluation report by the end of this week. The first set of reports are coming in this week, and the second set is coming in next week. And from then on, we'll be able to make decisions on the acquisition of those properties to enable us to begin to implement breaking new ground in areas. The sensitive municipality that we're talking about here is Delmas. Delmas has got a high water table, and there's been an informal settlement that is contaminating the underground water. And it's taken as a special case, and we are going to be assisting that municipality so that as the land gets there, we'll then move the people from that informal settlement. And protect that vulnerable underground water, because that municipality relies only on 50% of its water in underground water. And if it gets contaminated, our protection is that we continue to have the typhoid problem. So as we have the previous entity, Umatam, they agreed that let's keep this as present day to free the land so that we can be able to build on it. So once we can do all these three initiatives, we believe we will be able to spend the remaining money that we have, and next year we'll be in a position to do the second stage in the development and move forward in this multi-year initiative. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, madam. It's my problem.
Manda.
Thank you.
that from, because of the thousands of years of seed, we did that from the sense of name. And that had a true impact on our payment cycle. However, we did manage to settle that migration for paper, during the second quarter of the year, we appointed or engaging new professional costumes. I think that I'm referring to in the last 3 years, that we're using professional teams that we call RCTs. They are carrying off engagements which has come to an end by the 30th of June. And from the 1st of June, we are appointing new
thank you, madam. Now what we shall do then is the MEC of the Eastern Cape is still busy with the bug eradication in the other communities. He did phone me this morning that he was going to come in at about this time. Now, I'm not going to wait for him because his technical people are here and they will then make the presentation. You know, I think this is a bigger challenge of marketing application. Otherwise, in fact, it's affecting some communities' jobs in the Eastern Cape. I think this is one of the things you must deal with. There are some areas in the Eastern Cape that have developed a skill, this skill, over time. Mount Fletcher, Mount Fair, etc. And so, as you eradicate the budget, you must understand that huge communities are going to be losing jobs. There's a community called the Baka community.
Yes.
That for many years has been specializing on this. So clearly, we must have some exit strategy from the budget eradication situation to work through. So please, as you do those things, you must also work on those things. Kosidwa, he is going to find out what's coming halfway.
Thank you, Chef. Well, Chef, maybe the MSC is going to give that strategy. It was the one who was defending the bucket eradication. Chef, let's quickly move to the presentation from Mr. K for the first 9 months of the financial year. Yeah, the presentation is dealing with financial and non-financial, and then identify performance constraints and the remedial interventions and the outreach and the conclusion. Let's proceed. Chairperson, that slide, I don't know why it's so small. That slide is dealing with the multi-year expenditure framework. The total allocation for 0607 is 761.994 million. And then the expenditure during the first 9 months was 291.1, which is 38% of the total expenditure. And the money is being divided into various areas where we are spending as a province in order to come to 761. And then we've got the forecast for the last 3 months, January, February, and March. Let's move. That slide is dealing with the expenditure versus the cash flow forecast in the various districts and the Buffalo City and the Nelson Mandela Metro. And we are indicating that it's an expenditure, the cash flow projections versus an expenditure per quarter, that is the first, second, and third quarter, until at the end we indicate the variance. On non-financials. Okay. Well, on non-financial, we're talking of calculation. I thought that there are
few.
Okay.
Useful information.
Yes.
Look at the useful information. We shall have to contrast that information against this financial issue.
Okay.
For us, the issues that are critical are these for now. You may proceed.
Just one. The negative factors influencing how the delivery is the PHP, the majority of developers being municipalities, the use of emerging contractors, and the 40 square meter versus the 30 square meter national norm. Just one. And the housing recovery intervention, Chairperson. the department took a decision that to take over the unblocked projects, which are slow moving, through the engagement of the established contractors, which is also inclusive of Tunisia. And this process, took off the ground towards the end of the previous calendar year, around about November, December. And the intention was for the process to start as early as July, but unfortunately we had to talk to the various municipalities and to convince the various stakeholders concerning that. And this process is addressing the twin problem of municipalities without capacity and emerging contractor capacity shortfalls. Because with the established contractors now, it is giving us these following advantages, which will reap the fruits of those towards the end of this financial year and the end from 1st April upwards. The speedier procurement processes from the established contractors, the bulk material purchases, as well having a meeting with the material suppliers tomorrow in East London, and also the sourcing of additional resources to reinforce the construction team. And Chairperson, also the big contractors, they are able to execute most of those functions, that is execution of construction work, building in terms of a larger scope, in terms of the budget, spec and schedule. That is the time frame we've agreed on. And also sourcing of material supply in terms of being able to negotiate enough supply discounts for them in order to benefit out of the low-cost housing and the site management. But as well engaging the established contractor services, the key area there is to make sure that they are embracing the emerging contractors in order for them to graduate to a higher level. Progress to the interpretation. A fast-track procurement process, which is affecting 18 projects with a combined value of 43, will ensure on-site activity early March. As I was saying that, if this process could have started earlier, we could have reaped the fruits by now. But it started late because of negotiations with various municipalities and other stakeholders. The projects in the new financial year, that is starting from 1st of April 2007, are being packaged for the exchange, choosing through the established contractors. And also, it will give us a quantum leap in provincial delivery as from next year and beyond. The conclusion, Chairperson, being that we are confident that I think the elements which have created this expenditure have been exposed and we are dealing with them meaningfully now with a strong monetary team. And then also the paradigm shift and this strategic intervention which we are embarking on, that is moving from the emerging contractors, the established contractors, it will give us solid basis which has laid for higher service delivery performance in the remainder of the MTF period. Shepherds, in conclusion, I thank you.
All right, just before KZN leaves, National Department, can you just talk to some of the issues that have come out of this discussion so far, just across all of them? You might want to focus on some of the specifics.
Chair, yes, thank you. Between myself and Mr. Platzi, we will identify a couple of issues. We agree with the investigations that we have and meetings that we have with provinces that the focus of moving from smaller initiatives to large-scale initiatives is the correct idea. it will put us in a position to definitely focus on being able to actually spend in a much more controlled and mechanism. One of the other ideas that we're also discussing with the provinces is what we've seen with regards to spending in terms of planning. And provinces are in agreement, and it also came through this discussion here that the focus on planning needs to be stronger. And it is very clear in that, and we have been in discussion. And one of our initiatives, what we've, as a national department, agreed upon is to meet with provinces on a different type of mechanism so that the monitoring of planning versus delivery versus spending versus the type of milestones that is achieved is going to receive more attention. Because that is probably where our monitoring in the past wasn't as effective as what we would like to see it. So we're going to focus specifically on that. And maybe just one last item that I want to mention also is the issue around quality control. We have restructured the department now specifically to address and position ourselves in such a way that we are more closer to the different provinces to be in a position to look at the quality control that's on the ground and assist provinces and work with them to enhance their processes. Because it is a fact that, as previously mentioned here, that I think by the HUD of Western Cape, that it is sometimes very difficult if you don't have the capacity to, in actual fact, consistently be in those areas. And that's where the intention to have project managers in those specific areas help you to control your quality in a much better way.
Chairperson, can I also add that thank you, Chairperson. Can I also add that the National Department has been aware of...
Please don't forget to speak about when he died.
What I want to say is that we've been aware of all the non-spending throughout the year, and immediately after the last quarter, third quarter of the financial year, Chairperson, we have been engaging with provincial departments in relation to their spending patterns. And I'm happy sitting here that whatever that has been said by the provincial department has been exactly what we were discussing through the engagement with them. And the issue of planning has actually come very clearly, and we've actually taken it up with them as well. And the issue of Chubelisa, Chairperson, I think at the present moment we have actually engaged Chubelisa very at the point of the clause indicated in the PFMA. But on the basis of the concern raised by the committee, of course, we will take it up with our principals and our HOD, and we will definitely take it and we will respond definitely on that one. Thank you.
That's nice. Questions? Look on.
Well, maybe it must sit next to my together. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I think it's good to see people from Mpumalanga. Chair, to Limpopo. Limpopo, they said they are actually 2% spending. Am I right? They said they are actually 2%.
As the number 22 now, as 31. Since
the young man
here
was a seven.
Okay. Now it's fine, sure. They were 63% after 9 months. 63%.
Now come, Daniel. Your usual fight. Three of it come now, the jump now. 153 to 72%. I have a difficulty perhaps to understand from this your interventions. But the National Department is confirming that you're having discussions, but I really have difficulty to understand what has really changed to ensure that now you are at 72% all of a sudden. But having said that, who delivers housing in the Limpopo? Is it municipality? If so, there's that question that was put across by the citizens to all the provinces. Have you got a municipality that is accredited? And unfortunately, your presentation does not give us much in terms of, you know, the Western Cape. Implementation was very precise in terms of making very clear to us if municipalities are delivering houses, which of those are delivering houses, what is the capacity of those municipalities, and those things. Now, I know that in the interest of time we want to finish early, but it does not give us information so that the interventions, we can also be clear exactly where is it that we need that Health National Department has to do those interventions. But are you expecting to spend 100% at the end of the financial year? Or are you projecting it under spend, if for how much?
The constraints, issues of contractors. Clearly, Jefferson, in some provinces, the issue of capacity of contractors is a problem. If you remember, the MEC for education and
this issue is a problem in the Limpopo. What are we doing about it?
Thank you, Limpopo. Mpumalanga, I see three figures.
You saying you are at 69%? When are you at 69%? Is it at the end of January?
Because
at the end of December, you are at 43. And I'm sure you're not shocked. I'm sure you're not shocked. I'll show you where if you don't know. But you were at 43% at the end of 9 months. Now, we are 3 months from, from December up to the end of the financial year, is 3 months. What is your, obviously, you're projecting an understanding of how much? Are you projecting to understand? And if you are at 59%, I think your presentation was saying that you are at 59%, not at 75%. Now, where did you, from December, you are at 43. Now, In February, January, last year, 89%. And again, where does this capacity come from now, all of a sudden? Corrective measures to review the annual organogram, requested review of data. Only two engineers were appointed from Africa, and they made a whole decision. The appointment of this people from Cuba, I think that is a good thing. But what is the exact objective of appointing these people? Has it got to do with transfer of skills? And if so, should we assume that there are understudies to them? Because I think that if we are appointing people from elsewhere to come and intervene, obviously, it must be for the transferring of skills. Who manages that program? We were at 51% at the end of December. Am I right, Jefferson? And now, HOD is projecting to understand from 51%. Now to understand. That could be on a lighter note, Gauteng, but it's true. It's true. Gauteng was at one stage in 1% in December. Then, after 9 months, not housing, but because another department I won't mention, they had spent 1% after 9 months. After the fourth quarter, there were 104% within 3 quarters. Within 3 months, they had spent 104%. Now, clearly, you could not what you call a point at any unit that has been built between 3 months, despite the 104% that they have spent. Now, here, exactly, what we see in is the capacity that you have been saying now, they have got adequate capacity. Is this capacity has been built as from the end of the third quarter to the beginning of this year? Because clearly, in terms of the spending, it was because there was no capacity. With the, if you're going to overspend, as pointed out here, where is this money going to come from? Sir, that is how it is. But also with housing, I think also this issue of, I think that the HOD of housing must also clarify this issue of bridging finance. Because I remember HOD the last time you attributed to, understanding at the previous quarter to late claim. What is this? Where is the problem of the communication?
You know, you, in Gauteng, we are unlike the Eastern Cape. You come from Alfred and so on to get to East London, or any city. to get to East London, in Gauteng, it's just a bicycle from the HSC office to all these other municipalities. But it's not on the lighter side, anything. But the issue is really, why are we experiencing this late claim? I asked you a question last time, I will do the same question. It's around the CSSC.
Is the CSSC, if the CSSC is responsible for communication for this later conference, does it have the capacity to do this work?
To the same case. Now thank you. On your behalf, we welcome you. But also, Chair, I thought that I would see some intervention here. You know, I was very curious to see the island here. But now, I'm not sure if we got it at the last hearing, that in order to fast track deliver, there's going to be an HOD for housing and whatever. I thought that perhaps this document would help us with that. I was very curious, but I can't pick it up so that it should be focused. Has that been done? The HOD presented really a very well because HOD, you will understand that English is my second language, but because of, for lack of a better word, wishful, what you call it, you know, thinking or expenditure, or where after 9 months, we spent 38%. By end of December, we'll have spent 100%. I'm not sure. I thought that the HOT, and that I missed somewhere, you would say that you're projecting an under expenditure of so much, and then how you what you call it, how you hope to turn things around. I don't know, but I see here there are some interventions that are there. Your established contractor. But where do you? How is this program of established contractors going to work? Because slide 4 does indicate how your service delivery goes. I don't know whether DCM, what is DCM? Private for Buffalo City. I would think that Buffalo City, for instance, would have capacity. But there are, they appear quite somewhere there at 33%, somewhere there at 47%. I'm not sure why we're having them appearing separately here.
But clearly, factor 2, 43%, cut number 46, and so forth. Others, 53%. I'm saying, if we really hope that we're going to be able to spend more on this, and if housing delivery is made at municipal level, is that realistic in terms of the figures that we see before us? I think that I really have a problem. But I do have a problem too. But if then the municipality are delivering housing, this great record question of the accreditation, where are we in terms of the accreditation with this municipality? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to know of the Eastern Cape. I see on page 3 that they say the disaster housing assistance for the first 9 months is only 100 houses. Now, surely if something is declared a disaster area, there should be many, many more people that have been affected. And I'm just wondering if that number's not too low. What has happened there? Surely we should be asked to help people to see the disaster area and do so quickly and efficiently. And then I'd also just like a question. Given my scanty knowledge about Tulaliza, and excuse my ignorance, I don't have the full frame of reference, and I hope that Tracy can assist me with it. But I understood that perhaps this was not exactly the correct usage for something that was created for the Western Cape. It was mentioned in the Northern Cape, and now I see it comes up in the Eastern Cape as well. So could I please have an explanation about their role, what they're supposed to be doing, and where they're supposed to be used, and if this is legitimate? Thank you. Well, I have no knowledge about it. That was my question. So I'm saying, is it used and should it be used? And I'd like to answer. Thank you.
Talking across to each other now. No, look, I think we have really resolved. We have resolved the question on Tulaliza. The national department has to again, because we're going to talk more about Tulaliza again during the hearing on the Division of Revenue Bill. Precisely because we've got to ensure that everybody complies with the law. Now we understand the declaration that everybody else is grabbing anybody who's able to do this thing. But as he's saying, we must just do the right thing. Let's really comply with the law. So but then we will have to, they will respond to the question, what role is Tumelicha playing in the social industry case? Now, Mr. Sogoni, the presenter was not the HOD. The HOD is sitting next to the MEC now. They just walked in. You know, they were dealing with that heavy task of target eradication in the other committee. Something. Right. Let me just then raise the following questions for the Eastern Cape. One, the credibility of this protection. Page 2 there shows you, those are forecasts there, at that level they're 38%, and then finally it's going to be 100%. How credible is this thing? I think that's the one problem. But secondly, you know, overstating this projection is creating a problem. Because it always gives a wrong picture. Now, as a result of that, you're not able to be assisted. you're not able to be affected. It is very useful to always to pinpoint your shortcomings. And surely one of them is really not to overstate or even understate your own projections. It's very, very dangerous. At least there must be a very small margin of error. That is, the margin is so big from 38% to 100. So clearly, I mean, it does tell us that there's a big problem there. I think that's the one problem for the Eastern Cape. Number two, majority of developers are municipalities. And therefore this question of accreditation. But number two, you know, this is a big problem because where we're sitting, there is a report from them of the MIG. One example. The majority of municipalities in that province are not able just to use the MIG, little money. Now then you throw more money to them as developers. Now part of this problem relates to this problem that I was raising here, this constitutional problem. Well, let me see, was not here when we read it. This big law of the country. There's section 214 here, which is used for the division of revenue, national direct revenue. In other words, the recommendations made by the FSC must take these things into account when allocations are made. Now, section 2142E, I mean, the FSC takes into account all of this, A to J. But E is very much instructive to all of us, national, provincial, and local government. Because it says you must, I mean, when all of these things are done, they must be taken into account the fiscal capacity and efficiency of the provinces and municipalities. That's what national departments must do whenever they allocate. Take into account, among other considerations, fiscal capacity and efficiency of both provinces and municipalities. So, if then we then start throwing this money to municipalities, having not looked at this issue, the danger we're falling into this danger of tampering with the constitution besides other issues of delivery, quality, etc., etc. That's the constitutional issue. Now, I think that's one area. But then the issue then is that of accreditation then. How are you dealing with that? Now you are talking about progress to date. A fast-track procurement process affecting a total of 18 projects. That's huge. 433. What are the risks here? What are the risks of this fast-tracking? And surely part of the problem would be overlooking some of the procurement procedures, etc., etc. Have you made room to deal with those risks? Well, clearly you would have problems of disputes and other things and therefore litigation that might stretch out and affect again what you want to deal with. Now the progress that I read here says a quantum leap in the provincial delivery is the envisaged. Now the only quantum leap I suspect is going to happen is that of financial damage, especially to the municipalities. Right, that's the Eastern Cape. Then, Mpumalanga, you're talking bridging finance. Where are you going to get that money? From which source? And maybe the same for housing. Who's going to give you this bridging finance? Where are you going to get it? I mean, part of the bigger problem that you might have, you're talking bridging to some municipalities. But then part of the problem, especially in the context of overspending, is that nobody is going to bail you out. And so, where are you going to get money to cover issues of overspending? Now, then the last thing which I must ask is for the attention of the MEC is the what I raised in the last quarter. I did say, MEC, you were not here, but your team, there's new money now. Division of revenue. And you are given such a big amount. Now, you've given this big amount in the context of little capacity to deliver. 1 billion rand. It's the highest allocation when I look at this division of revenue deal. Now, we did then say to your team last quarter that you've got to come and prepare a very strong motivation why we should not reduce this money. I mean, part of our responsibility as a committee is to amend DORA. We have never amended DORA in the last 10 years. And therefore we're celebrating 10 years this year. And in celebrating those 10 years, we do want to why not? So I'm saying you've got to come there for somewhere in March, you will know the date. Because you've already spoken to your national department to come and speak on your behalf. In fact, the three of you, it is the Eastern Cape, it is Mpumalanga, and there's one of them here. The first day, man. The first day. 1, 2, 3. So this year, MEC, in my beautiful bike here, you're getting 1 billion rand. 1.052 billion. Now, surely that's too much for you to something that we call a big bite for you to be able to. You're not going to respond to this one now. When you shall receive the, it's going to be on the housing on the 6th of March, but then the letter is coming. You can diarize over it. The National Department, Division of Revenue, Bill, Housing, Roads and Transport, Salt, Minerals and Energy. So you surely must. From today onwards, we did say to the team from National Treasury, they must start talking to you guys about, I mean, they must also try and talk to you about what is it that you are doing to really ensure that you receive the money. Therefore, you must also convince them to be your spokesperson. So, I see Mr. McLean is not in that, at least. If we gave you a quarter of this, in fact, a third of this money, you then be able to perform much better. Right, and Tubelisha, well, the Eastern Cape has talked about Tubelisha. We will look at the issues that relate to Tubelisha. But as we were saying earlier on, let everybody try and comply with the law. We understand all the problems. But people should not just rush into everything else and try and do all sorts of wrong things. Right. Let's allow then the MEC, even though he was not here, I'm not sure whether he's going to take some breather, because he's from that big one. Yeah. No, he must start. He knows me.
That has been one disadvantage I'm unable to overcome.
Sir, I'm unable to operate my system there, but thanks very much for the question. Again, let us express our appreciation. I'm sure the members of the department that presented here did express that our appreciation of really coming before the committee, because we believe that this is a two-way process. It's a process where we begin to say this is what we are doing, but also with your knowledge and understanding, you are also beginning to say this is how you can do it better in certain areas. Therefore, we really appreciate this meeting. The second area, I would want to move quickly to the questions raised. The first one being just to confirm that currently we still have one department, and we did set out time frames as a provincial government, because the decision has now been taken at the level of cabinet to say that the structure for the second department must be finalized by the end of February, and we should be seeing the advert by March, and the process of really filling that position of the head of department should be speeded up, so that we are able to then ensure that the other process really that follows in creating a fully fledged department do follow. We have set again the last time frame, which is by the beginning of the new financial year, which is 08-09. We don't want to be talking about the process really of separating two departments. By that stage, we need to have a fully fledged department. Therefore, the process and the officials are working on those deadlines. It is again an important area, as you have also indicated that the need and the demand is there. And we cannot really penalize our people by us keeping a minimum capacity in the areas where they really need services. So we would want to really move in speed in that particular area. The second area I would want to address briefly, because I hope that the HOD and our program manager, Mr. Mzamo, they are going to be able to deal with many of the questions that have been raised here, Chair. The second area is around credibility of projections. And I think, Chair, you have raised them very well here. We have been interrogating this area in the course of this financial year. One of the things that we have realized in this area is that when we make projections, at times we do not take into account the implementation program, so that your projections talk to the implementation program. The second one is really that of ensuring that you do not only identify projects, but you also say what is required to implement those projects. And you also address all the other problems that are associated with the implementation. So in the current financial year, we had to cancel projects because I believe that we really did not look into that area. We have just accepted projects as they come and begin to then say these are the projects. In some cases, you find that we did not do our homework in as far as land availability. At times, the question of bulk infrastructure, which is required to implement the project, has not been taken into account fully. As we prepare for the coming financial year, these are the areas we're beginning to engage in intensively. But we have already started this year. What we have done in the remaining amount, we have requested the department to go back and said we we get your projection. At that stage, they projected to us that the amount which is not going to be spent, which will be the under expenditure, is 200 million. We then said, go back to what you're projecting as the expenditure, in particular for the month of February and March. Bring back to us figures that you are confident that are going to be spent. Based on that, between myself and the HOD, we signed an agreement that he's going to be spending those figures. And that letter he has forwarded to me, where he has committed himself for those figures. The intention really being to begin to make sure that people take the information they submit seriously. So we are working on that. But also, Chair, we have then said, what is the process we can embark upon to deal with the under expenditure? And we have asked ourselves various questions in that area. So I'm saying, on the area of expenditure, we'll start, go back, bring figures, and commit yourself to those figures in writing so that we can have something that we can use as part of our assessment. Then we then said, on the remaining amount, what are the programs and processes? At the level again of cabinet, it was agreed that we should be establishing a team that does not only consist of the department, but that also begins to bring the provincial treasury for procurement issues as raised by you here. But also, the legal services must be brought in, so that they also, as we begin to interrogate these areas, they also look at the legal implication, because we don't want to get into a situation where you have legal challenges. And task that team with the task of bringing to us information, in particular in the area of this big contractor. Firstly, we want to follow a legal process. We don't want to have any legal challenges out of that. And that work was done. It is on the basis of that work that we believe, Chair, that the bringing in of big contractors, the process is under close monitoring at all times to ensure that it avoids the shortcomings that it can take towards your procurement processes. It deals with them within the legal available framework. Also, we deal with the legal issues and legal challenges that might arise from those. So we have committed ourselves to deal with those areas. We feel that we need also to bring on board the other stakeholders. We accept that whilst we want to run projects, which is again a reversal of the earlier decision that you question from time to time. In the past, we have just given projects to municipalities on the basis of needs which they indicated, and we therefore said, you are going to be developers. And we have, in this current financial year, started the process of reversing that. Hence the talk of the big contractors coming in and so on. But also, that has been the practice in the province. And the honorable member was questioning the two Buffalo City, because you find that we were having a situation where we appointed developers at a provincial level who are not municipalities but private developers. And again, where in the same municipal areas, there would be municipalities as a developer. So we are saying we are also looking in that area, trying to address it. But we also believe, Chair, that we need to take each other on board with the municipalities, because the other preparatory work depends on what they are doing. So once we're taking the role and really reversing that earlier decision, we still want to ensure that there is close cooperation between ourselves. And we have decided to have meetings that are sitting quarterly between myself, portfolio headers in housing and municipalities, our officials, so that we can interrogate the challenges and be able to overcome the problems that are associated with the implementation, because some of the problems would be problems that would need to be resolved at that level. Again, Chair, we have been having serious weaknesses when it comes to IDP, the housing chapters there. We are also trying to firm up that area, making sure that we really have these chapters really developed, not only on the basis that you would have this compliance, but on the basis really of ensuring that compliance is dealing with real issues that we need to deal with, that would ensure implementation. And the Chair, as I've said, I would leave the other areas that have been raised here to the HOD and the program manager. Thanks very much again, Chair, for the opportunity and also for the understanding of the committee that we come at the time in which we have managed to come here. Thanks. Sir, while we are talking, let me start and so that I do not delay the comment. Sir? Sir? Thank you. Sir,
Chairperson, I've asked all the questions. The MSA has covered almost all of them. What is outstanding is the accreditation and disaster. That's how I was asking the question. And when it comes to accreditation, we've accredited Nelson Mandela Municipality to level one and the Buffalo City to level one. So those are the two municipalities which were the pilot in conjunction with Lasha. As a promise, the initiative we are taking is that during the next financial year, as from the 1st of April, is to assess the capacity of the six districts, not to give them an in-principle accreditation. The whole of next year will assess their capacity so that in the following year, that is 2008-09, we can see out of the results of that capacity of the six districts, which one or which one can we start with in order to follow the two. But with Nelson Mandela... Okay, thank you. So, this is, I think with Nelson Mandela, the MSC has appointed the AG to look at their audit now of the capacity of Nelson Mandela in order to see if they cannot go to the next level of level two. That process will be starting as from March ending end of April. When it comes to disaster, the 100 units we're talking about is the disaster which happened at Clef Plat. It was 100 houses, and those the houses were referred to. The reason why, madam, we cannot, through you, Chair, we cannot deal with the backlog we're having, it depends on the same cake we're having in terms of the conditional grant. But we're prioritizing to, in this next financial year, MSA has started that, let's prioritize disasters, especially around Afrezo, Matatiel, and all those areas. So it's going to be our priority for the next financial year. Chairperson, Chairperson has indicated that it will be discussed only on the 6th of March. But so far, within the province, the reason why we're using Tubelisha, it was a decision of the MINMEC that let's use Tubelisha to facilitate the unblocking of the drug project within South Africa for all the provinces. That was the decision of the MINMEC. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Can I just have a follow-up, please? I just want to check, were there only 100 houses that were affected in the disaster and those have been repaired, or were they only able to repair or provide 100?
Madam
Chair.
Please forgive me. Chairperson, this is the 100 houses which were affected by disaster and flood. Like, those houses have been repaired or are in the process of the final stages. Otherwise, we are talking of the 100 flood like, houses which are going to be finalized if I think they are going to finish touches by the end of this financial year. Thank you.
Just to come in, the second part of the question is that are those the only houses affected? And I think the answer is
no.
No, those are not the only houses. We still have many other areas that were affected. But also we have started the process to criticize ourselves, because in the past disaster would happen, they would affect communities. Instead of us treating them as disasters, whereby we look at what we can provide in terms of budget, begin to appeal to Treasury in the adjustment appropriation for additional funding. We have not been doing that. And we are beginning a process to deal with that process as well. The provincial budget committee has been tasked to look at this particular area in order to address the weaknesses that were there.
All right. Bumalanga?
And some significant students who are coming during holidays, they are going to be attached to the various students so that they also acquire skills, they get monitors. And this will be deliberate because of the problem of attracting engineering skills. So sometimes it's not a question of the money alone. You can have the money, you advertise, they are not interested because the salaries that are said to be paid, they are said to be low. So we focus particularly on students that are coming out of Mpumalanga from withdrawing them from the grade district. This program is coordinated by our human resource section, and they're working closely with our technical section in the department. The second question of where does the capacity come from to achieve this change that we are seeing? I think it's important to mention that the Cubans arrived there in the province towards the end of October, and we had quite an increased number than the one that we had previously, because we only had three engineers previously, but this time we recruited nine engineers and three community architects and two hydrologists to assist us within the local government side of the program. The support, the inspection, the monitoring has also increased. This has translated into an improvement in the training. Plus, Treasury has also beat the team by appointing an head. So we got in essence about 11 people and civil engineers that are assisting us in projects with housing. And of course, we signed service level agreements with the municipalities that are high capacity municipalities in order to be able to utilize their technical team in projects in their area. So this is actually breaking the monitoring, the inspections that are taking place in projects. But the other decision that happens, and this is the reason why we are saying we think by the end of March we will be able to utilize the funding. We will, after discussions with National Housing, we clearly separated planning for 07 and 08 And then in those projects where we could not move because of land issues, the NEC has agreed that we redirect initiatives into planning. And the result of that is that we will be able to focus on Mbombela, that is, you know, place inner city redevelopment where they are acquiring buildings. So as soon as the evaluations are complete with the evaluation, which is the first lot we are doing, we should be able to sit down and have an assessment as to maybe for months when the decisions are going to be taken and advised by the evaluators. And we'll then be able to package those buildings and do our inner city development. This is a multi-year project. So the land purchase, the purchasing of those buildings is a quick transaction. And then in the following year, we will be looking into the renovations and the partitioning of one of the buildings. So we're sitting as a multi-year project, which will then enable us to move even faster and ensure that we begin to bring integration into Mbombela. Now, Mbombela, we're talking about North Place. North Place is largely owned by particular staff, and it's not difficult to get land in inner city. And it's not easy to, it's difficult to get land in inner city. And as a result, integration has been very, very slow. And yet some of the buildings are lying unused for quite a number of years now. And the property owners have been approved, and we believe offers have been made. These are the offers that are being evaluated by the vendor. And then we'll talk on to the figures.
Thank you, Chair. On the explanation of the discrepancy on the percentage that are being reported, sometime towards the end of the year, before December, we had discussions with our provincial treasurer, and based on the levels of expenditure that we are experiencing, there was a suggestion that we need to surrender some money. And based on that suggestion, we then worked out our percentage expenditure figures based on the fact that Treasury will be taking away money from us because of the under expenditure. But if you look at now the direction that you are now taking, where we are now saying you are not going to surrender any money, instead you are going to channel that money into the purchasing of properties and the purchasing of land, it then means that our percentage has to be adjusted then from 59% to 44%.
Thank you. Yeah. This is a big challenge. The smart process.
Thank you. The question was, how do we expect to spend? Overspent when we have up to so far spent 61%, and that question I'd like to answer simultaneously with the other one that says you only build capacity to spend within the set quarter. We are saying our history of expenditure speaks for itself, Chairperson, coming from the previous years. We did not begin to build.
Let's not make that assumption of a previous year's record. You know why? I'll tell you a good story. Last financial year, Northern Cape got money, Department of Health, from all the other eight provinces, because they were underperforming hospital revitalization. Okay? And all of a sudden, the Northern Cape is number last, as we speak. Now, I'm saying the assumption, therefore, of the history of performance should not be a determining factor here in terms of what you are saying. And I'm sure the questions are on the basis of the current picture as we see. Do not please tell us about that, the past. For the past for now is really deceiving us. Proceed then, madam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to be exact in terms of the question, we did not begin to build our expenditure capacity in the third quarter. We've been building our the capacity to spend throughout the years, including this year throughout the other quarters. We have explained the reasons why this year. We have patterns as reflected in terms of the history that is before you. We have said, for instance, during the first year, during the first quarter, and this has not happened in the last year. During the first quarter, we have had to transfer functions from us to another body, and that had an impact in terms of our expenditure pattern or our cash flow. And perhaps I should also take this opportunity to answer the second question, the third question that was asked. Does GSSC have the capacity? And my answer to that is yes, it has. At that time, teething problems of transferring functions. But now that they have been fully transferred, there is improved payment. GSSC is the Housing Care Services Center, to whom, in terms of our of the Executive Council decision, transversal functions from different departments have been transferred.
You know the stories about them. That's why I wanted to be sure.
Yeah. Okay, but in relation to what I am reporting about here, I can confidently say there is improvement. Okay. They have improved. We have actually even received feedback from different. Submit proof of the feedback, some of which has been recorded in our hands, but in our provincial legislature, to confirm that the service providers out there are feeling the improvement in terms of the improved payment system that we ourselves within the department have attended to very vigorously last year during the first two quarters, and also in GSSC in terms of what we insist and the kind of relationship that we have built. So I was answering that other question, whether there is capacity. I've also said we have appointed in the second quarter a new lot of support that was grappling with understanding how the department works, and that obviously had an impact, again, in terms of our cash flow. The other issue that I would have referred to is the NHBRC enrollment, which is also a challenge. We do have records in terms of the issues that we have had to discuss between ourselves until the NEC intervened. But at this time, we believe the processes, the channels to ensure that those processes are no longer in our way have been sorted out. And one can say, into the future, we hope these are issues that you can't say you're solving them once and for all. There must be a hands-on approach every time we've got to go back to them, because they keep on recurring. And obviously, because these are processes that have got to do with human human judgment and participation of human beings. So we continue to build capacity to improve, because as has already been stated here, as the resources to spend are growing, so is the need to ensure that you align your ability to spend and your ability to perform on a regular basis. So it's not only in one quarter that we concentrate on building our capacity. It will happen throughout the last term of this department. We are saying we are now more confident that we'll spend the entire budget, because those issues that were in our way during the first and the second quarter are now out of our way. We are including the next question around bridging finance. What you're saying is that at the beginning, if one was to start just giving a scenario at the beginning, the department would sit and would say, in this year, we are going to deliver so many projects across the different regions. And to say, for instance, there are 10 projects in Ekurhuleni, one of each has got different varied numbers of projects, 800, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, and so on. But you will sit around the table and say, given the resources that are transferred to us by the department, the national department, will not be able to deliver on all of these cedars that we have around the table. What do we do? And this is what we've done. We'll say, Ekurhuleni, instead of going delivering 500 units in this project, that is going to render 500 units, we're going to deliver 200. And so we went through the other projects. And I think that scenario also painted during our first quarter. It said, if the department was to deliver according to the needs out there, we would have to deliver at a rate of about 200,000 units per annum, and we've got the capacity to do so. But unfortunately, because of the resources, we are forced to deliver at the rate of 32,000 units per annum. And that picture we have painted to our provincial treasury, to national treasury, even to the National Department of Housing, and we stated that in this house. So once we have curtailed the numbers of the project amongst the different municipalities, we then say we are bound to stay within the program in the budget. But then some contractors perform better. And then again, I would refer to Ekurhuleni, where we have said there's a project that requires you to deliver 800 units, but because of the money, we can only allow you to deliver 200. They finish before their term and they say, should we go away and wait for next year? And we sit down and rationalize and say, if they go, it's extra cost to bring them back, it's another process of procurement and so on, continue. Because this is a project where, in fact, you're supposed to be delivering 800 units, not 200 units. And that's how we talk about over-expenditure. It's not so much over-expenditure. These are projects that have been planned, but unfortunately would have to curtail because of the budget, but the efficiency outstrip that kind of planning. So you have to decide, are you going to now say, no, you stop with your 200 units, or are you going to credit this person for efficiency and allow him to improve and then come back in-house and say, how do we manage this situation? But obviously being mindful of the fact that you're not allowed to overspend. So we are saying we are mindful of this situation, we have allowed it to happen, but you also know the legal requirements that we've got to perform within, that we're not going to overspend and we're going to manage that situation. So that's the explanation of why we are confident that we're going to spend, because the improvements are showing us that we're going. And the scenario that I was trying to paint when I gave my report was to show concrete evidence of the project where this money is going to go into, that you're saying you're going to be spending over the next quarter. Late claims, we had promised late claims last in the first quarter when we said our payment system has been changed, the GSSC and all of those things, but that has improved, as I've already said. We came here and promised the house that we're going to work on our payment system. We have worked on it and we are able to say we have improved that. So we don't have a problem with late claims. But we have a problem with municipalities, one municipality actually, that did not have the capacity to submit claims in a manner that would enable us to pay without going backwards and forwards. We identified that immediately. We forwarded technical support. That is Western Sidibe. Yes. We forwarded capacity. We have assisted them. And after we have forwarded the technical capacity to this municipality to ensure that they do their claims in the right way, that has improved. And that's why even our December cash flow would have exceeded our projection, because there was that kind of improvement. So after that, in intervention, we don't expect that there will be any problem. But if there should be, we do have the means at hand to ensure that does not occur. I think we've answered all the...
Thank you, madam. We'll be watching the space, especially after the confidence you are showing. Raise it, madam.
On the application question, I forgot to answer it. One municipality would receive this application to be under the environment application, and the official ministry appointed municipality for application in Kumala. So there are four other municipalities in Kumala that are requesting to be considered for accreditation, namely Dr. Moroga, Mombela, Kogan and Lady, and Kitchwick. Thank you.
You had the ample time to think about whatever you think. Limbo.
Okay, thank you. The first question was about what has really changed. We have appointed additional project managers, about 36 of them, the total of 52, which we deployed to where the projects are taking place. So they are stationed at the municipal offices. And we have got a project management unit created that assists contractors in terms of feeding claims to speed up the payment procedure. So what we picked up is that instead of people hold claims and they massively claims around December. So most of the time, the claims that were submitted in December are more than the other months. Maybe because of bonuses and people want to pay. People are going on holidays. Now, who delivers housing in Popo? The province acts as a developer, appoint contractors, and it manages contractors itself. We don't transfer money, project to municipalities. Now, with regard to accreditation, Polokwane's application for accreditation at level 1 has been approved, and they were on the process of capacity to be able to handle the duties of level 1. With other municipalities, who are on the process of doing capacity assessment to try to see which ones can qualify for accreditation. Are you expecting to spend? Yeah, we, as I said, with the expenditures improving, and we have increased capacity, as I've indicated in the earlier answer. Contractors' capacity, what are we doing about it? What was happening is that we had more than 100 contractors appointed by the department, so it was definitely a nightmare to manage so many contractors, and with unit allocations of about 100 to 200. So we have managed to reduce that to, as I said in the presentation, that we have appointed about 4 highly capacitated for to handle more than 60% of the work. And then we use what you call 70-30 approach. 30% will be for imaging. And what is interesting, the 4 capacitated contractors, 3 of them are 100% owned by previously disadvantaged people. So when you talk about highly capacitated, it doesn't refer to we have people currently who are able to deliver which were previously disadvantaged. I think these are the questions that was needed to involve. National chair, I understand it's changing that.
What about the term? Are you not using the Tuberisa?
Not for now.
Good. You see, we're raising this because the recent case has said this was a mean math decision. And therefore it looks like you're not using this kind of a mean math decision equally. On the other hand, Western Cape had asked for permission through national pressure, etc., etc. Let me just then say to the national department, it is clear that then most of these problems are created by yourself. I'll tell you why. In your submission, Madam Matlatsi, you said that you knew about all of these things. In other words, the kinds of problems. And then you proceeded to do all the things that you were doing, having the knowledge of these things. Now, one of the critical problems there, then, is that you also did not comply with the Bible that I hold in front of me. Section 18, and that of withholding. Especially the three provinces that we're talking about. Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape and Western. You had. You did not do that. In other words, I don't want you to respond. I'm just telling you now. You had the opportunity to talk. And you also had the responsibility to reallocate to those that are performing, that is section 20 of the same Bible in front of me. But then the biggest of them all is section 21. I will read it now for you. Risk management in respect of schedule 5 or 6 allocation. This is a schedule 5 that we're talking about. The transferring national officer of schedule 5 or 6 allocation, of which the total value transfer to provinces or municipalities exceeding 1 billion rand for the budget year. Now we're talking, if you look at the Eastern Cape and that and that, that's more than a billion. Must within 14 days after this act takes effect, determine minimum set of risks that must be taken into account and mitigated by a receiving officer in respect of that allocation. I hope after we pass this one now, you will do that. In other words, what it then means is that you must surely have to look at this issue. Whether Mpumalanga, the Eastern Cape, and Free State would be able to cope. Because as I was saying, for now, if you look at the pre-allocations, they're more than 2 billion rand. Or just all together. So I'm just saying, it's a matter that you must do within 14 days after this has been passed. We're going to pass this on the 29th of March. 14 days thereafter, you've got to be able to do those things. I'm just saying so that you also are able to ensure that you do what is expected of you. Now, having then said that, let's thank all of you for coming off.
I'll say that's a small thing that as you're talking about the giving of revenue, different representatives, unfortunately, in some case, we don't see the representatives very often in the meeting. But different representatives of delegates from provinces will be going back to provinces. I think that it will be very useful for provinces to participate as well in that, because I know that provinces don't normally pay attention to this. But the chairperson is before, MC was here when you said that this year, he would like to amend division of revenue. So that's why I think that it will be useful for departments to participate in this process. Thank you, sir.
No, that's true. And fortunately, you know, in the free province, we can tell you, Mr. Radicon, that all of them as HODs and MCs participate. Even in the we know.
know we've got 2 years to go.